Hey, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is episode 320 of the IT in the D Show. Guests this week include...
We're 100 episodes away from 420.
I don't know where that came from.
Sorry.
Guests this week include Marie Graham, Pat O'Sullivan. They're from our friends at Newspire. It is Security Awareness Month, and we're going to be talking about programs, how to keep yourself secure, a bunch of new hacks that are coming out, and different, and how this company's absolutely blowing up lately, and they've been fun to watch.
Cool.
And then we got a whole bunch of stuff going on. South Park's killing it again. Bunch of hacks. Star Wars tickets are on sale tonight.
Already bought them.
Davey may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hey guys, it's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beat off.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Professor Xavier. Storm. Storm. Come here, Storm. Sit up my lap, Storm.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man. You're listening to IT and the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
This is the ladies man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
Nerds!
Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snoops to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
This is Robert Hayes, the Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show.
It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hi, this is Jeremy London from Mallrats, and I'm just wondering, how did I go from Hot Floridian Sex with Brandy spinning to the IT and D Show?
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT and the D.
Skeptical Dave is skeptical.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
What is up? Thanks for hanging out with us once again. Click and play. This is the IT and the D Show. We made it all the way up to episode 320, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. Randy, I do the Twitters, is doing the Twitters. Find us online at itinthed.com. Do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
All right, so what do we got? We got...
Well, hold on. Heads off to the staff and Augie and everybody over at Whiskey in a Jar. Dave, you...
I was getting into that.
Yeah, no,
I was getting ready to talk events.
No, this was an event, post-event, yeah. And then you could do new events. But no, I had worries about parking. Whiskey in a Jar, obviously.
Everybody figured it out.
Everybody figured it out.
It was packed.
It was packed. There was some regulars there, but that was good too. But yeah, it was packed. And everybody said, thanks for having it out here. I appreciate it.
And the over-under was 9, and
we beat that at 525. That,
yeah.
It's fine.
No, and it was great. I mean,
I don't mind being wrong.
No, and Whiskey in the Jar was like that's one of those places where, like I said, it's what we used to do. Like, it's, you know, bring people to like kind of a little out of the way, off the beaten path places. Mm-hmm. And I heard it once, I heard it a dozen times. Oh, dude, I've heard about this place. I keep meaning to get here. Awesome.
It's one of my favorite bars in town. Yeah. No doubt. But yeah. So, thanks to the staff, that, you know, Mikey and Augie just hung out for a little bit. But yeah, Mikey outdid himself. Great bartender.
It was great. But so next, coming up, we've got Ann Arbor on the 5th, I believe.
Yeah, we'll be at Haymaker Public House.
Cool.
Right on Washington. Make sure you vote before you come to the meetup. That is.
That's right. That is that day.
Election day.
Yeah. And then the 21st, we'll be back at Embrew.
Sweet.
Rah, rah.
Downstairs.
Yeah.
Pizza and
pinball. Video games.
And electronic jukebox.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, Dave and I talk about all the time how we email spreadsheets. We still haven't figured this thing out, but I think we finally did. We don't know. We're on all these different platforms. We don't automate anything.
Gmail for this. Docs for that. Sheets for that. Dropbox for this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't I send you the Dropbox link? No. But hey, growing a business is super hard, especially when you're wasting hours moving data from emails to spreadsheets and CRM or wherever. Shouldn't that stuff just happen without you lifting a finger? Our friends at Zapier can help. It is the easiest way to automate your work. It connects all of your business software and handles work for you so you can focus on things that matter most. No more wasting time on tasks you know could be automated, because that's what they were built to do. If you don't know what they are, check them out. They strip the APIs out of literally every app you use, got them to talk. So things like sales automation, if somebody comes in from your website, fills out a contact form, it goes right into CRM, triggers all these different alerts. When someone buys something from an e-commerce site, it'll trigger finance and shipping. It's insane.
Does it come with trigger warnings?
It does not. But hey, do us a favor. Go to our special link, zapier.com/ITinTheD. That's zapier.com/ITinTheD. And, you know, what I just said is scratching the surface. They support more than 1,500 business applications, so the possibilities are literally endless. Best of all, it's easy to build the exact solution you need in minutes. No code, no asking a developer. 4.5 million people are saving an average of 40 hours per month by using Zapier. Right now through November, try Zapier for free by going to zapier.com/ITinTheD. That's zapier.com/ITinTheD for your free 14-day trial.
You know, I keep meaning to ask, because it's spelled like the sword. Is it Zapier or is it Zapier?
Zapier like happier.
Okay. I every time I see it, I'm like, is it okay?
Zapier.
You know, web 2.0 spelling.
Right. So there's a silent K and a schwa and an umlaut somewhere.
Yes.
And yes.
But you know what are our events though? It's amazing. Meetup comes out and says they're going to charge $2 per attendee, and the mad coders at Microsoft, LinkedIn, went to work, and LinkedIn events is back.
Yeah. And they announced it like they'd never had it before, which was the part that made me laugh.
Like, you clowns, like we were using you exclusive until you just dropped it for no reason.
And then we had to go to Meetup because that was the only available option.
So we have 8,000 members on LinkedIn and, like, what, 1,000 on Meetup?
Yeah.
So we, like, lost half of our traction.
Yep. Well.
Oh, eighth.
Whatever.
87.5%.
Thanks, sales guy.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do
12.5%,
that.
12.5%, one-eighth. Yeah, exactly. Do the math. But, no, we lost literally.
It was my understanding there would be no math.
I did it for you. No, you know, if you want to be 87.5% of our, we lost our, you know, and who knows who, you know.
Yeah, and that's not guaranteeing that it, you know, it's crossover. That could have been new people that we picked up that aren't on LinkedIn. And yeah, I mean, because we did. We use LinkedIn events for friggin' everything. And ugh.
I played around with this feature, maybe because I'm not a group owner, but I couldn't see a way to associate it with a group. Can group owners create it?
Events was never associated with a group. Like, okay. So it was always just create an event. Yes, okay. You just created an event and off you went. It would be better if they could do that, but yeah.
By the way, I am going to – so a couple of South Park. I was giggling all day, last couple of days.
It was amazing. They're so killing it.
They're not just killing it. They're going to make about, $500 million on the new streaming deal because they're shopping themselves around, which probably won't be picked up in China anytime soon.
Yeah, but remember when SouthParkCentral.com had all the episodes for free? I remember. Uh-huh. I remember.
Now
is that not a thing anymore?
No,
it's been a while.
I think it's like a clip, and then you got to go to Hulu or whatever. Yeah.
But right. If you didn't see this week, I'm totally going to spoiler alert for you. Basically, they're trashing on the Impossible Burger from Burger King,
which is so good, given that we just had all the Hatch Detroit and the vegan folks.
Right. You know, my favorite part is Randy goes to Burger King, and he goes, it's Impossible Burger. Takes a bite. He goes, tastes like shit. And like the Burger King guy's like, nobody seems to mind. So the whole
that was when Randy started making them because
that was right in the beginning when he went to Burger King. Then he decided to make them afterwards,
right, and started making them with all of the leftover weed stems,
like the seeds.
And all that other kind of stuff. And so yeah, then it was like he's like, oh, this tastes like shit. Takes another bite. Not that bad.
The best part is he's wearing the t-shirt like to promote it. It's Integrity Burgers. It starts this thing. And it's Integrity Burgers. And it just tastes like shit because you won't care.
Because you're going to be high.
You can buy them on Etsy, which is great. Like
the shirts or the burgers?
Yes, the shirts. No. I wish you could buy the burgers. Oh, my God. But like, so then the impossible people are like the incredible people in South Park.
Yeah.
So like he's like, I'm a goo man. I sell goo.
Oh yeah, I tried to play the whole I couldn't figure out if they were going for like a Stephen King character. But yeah, I'm a goo man, and all I do is sell goo. Goo that can be made into hamburgers, patties, anything you want.
I don't know how they do it every week. Anyway, if you're not watching it, you got to catch up. It's only been like, what, 3 or 4 episodes?
Yeah, season. I would say, yeah, 3 or 4 episodes
so far. It's been pretty awesome. Yeah. But so when all this madness came out with Cinemax, with Comcast, I went, you know, and we had Comcast in here, and I'm like, you got to fix my crap. This is stupid.
Yep.
So I got my Cinemax, but guess what? Then all of a sudden, Stars didn't work, and I go, they moved one into the other. But you're telling me they dropped Stars altogether?
Mm-hmm. They are dropping Stars. There was a big to-do about it because I guess the new episode of
Outlander.
Something was supposed to premiere last night.
It was a big deal.
There was a whole kerfluffle about it.
I was kerfluffled.
And Power, I think, is another popular one.
Apparently 50 Cent was raving about Power, and it was the post about that because people were mocking 50 Cent about it. That's what brought it to my attention because, well, who doesn't love to mock 50 Cent? Now they've dropped Stars, and that's a thing. And, dude, like, again,
is it final or are they still negotiating?
Apparently the deal fell through. So I think
who owned the Stars, by the way?
Lionsgate. The movie production company.
So they're not part of the whole conglomerate?
Apparently they are not part of the – yeah, apparently they are not part of the whole food chain yet.
Oh.
I guess good for them. All right.
No, not good for them because how many subscribers they lose?
Well, what are they going to do? Like, come out with a Stars app now? Because, I mean, let's be honest. Would any of us watch anything on Stars?
No.
If it's not just in the lineup?
RoboCop. I mean, okay, I'll watch it again, but I'm not going to seek it.
No.
And then,
$10.99 a month for it.
Yeah,
right.
If it's on as I'm flipping through the channel guide, yeah.
Well, one of the dumbest ones now is AMC. The theaters are coming out with their own streaming app now.
I was actually just noticing that as I was purchasing the tickets for the 19th.
Are they streaming new movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
So no. You can actually buy – you can buy like through Comcast On Demand. You can get movies that are still in the theaters.
You can't watch like
– not –
The blockbuster
is still like a week or two after.
Yeah, it's a little bit later.
Well, and I'm sure this is going to be the same way, or unless they're coming up with a different digital distribution deal. Who knows?
It's $19.99 a month for this Come on.
Hey, you know what? You give me you give me access to first run stuff that I can.
Those are supposed to be priced at like $50 back when they were talking about that.
Is there a discount combination if you're also an AMC A-list?
I think it's
member?
Called Star or A-list. Yeah, yeah, I don't know.
You just don't get free Slurpees, Randy.
Yeah, I don't know. But, dude, I mean, how many times have we had this? Dude, Star Wars, this will be the second time this year that I will have been inside a movie theater. And the first time was because I got, you know, talked into taking my kids to something. I don't like movie theaters, or more to the point, I don't like people in movie theaters. So you give me access to something that will let me watch first run movies sitting in my living room, I'm in.
No, the best one is the Imagine in Rochester, because the seats are as big as my couch at home with the recliner. That now that's the experience.
They're all like that now.
Dude, look at looking at the seats as you were picking them, it's like two seats and an aisle. Two seats and an aisle.
Where did we see Solo where we all crammed together and it sucked?
That's why you're not allowed to buy tickets anymore.
No, because I didn't buy three. I bought IMAX. So
number,
I'm thinking,
yeah, number one, you bought 3D.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. They were 3D.
Not for Solo.
Oh, wait, no, that was for, I think that was for
Solo. I bought the bouncy seats with my kids. That sucked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the D-Box?
Yes. It was awful.
No, so I don't know. But yeah, so no, we're going to be there on the 19th, good times, which I think is actually, well, no, because we pull our event up early that month. So that would be the event night, but no, it's not going to be. So things I loved the Internet Archive. This is one of the stories we didn't get to last week. So if you haven't heard this yet, this is very, very cool. They released 2,500 old MS-DOS games that you can play online, which is just, it matters to probably nobody other than Bob and I, but there's just so much old, cool content that I remember growing up with. And they're fun.
Someone remake or give me the emulator for Leisure Suit
I want
Larry.
Leisure. We've talked this, but give
and
me
I
Leisure
can play
Larry.
It now.
Like, give me. Yeah, I'm sure it's online somewhere.
Who
somebody
owns
has
the rights
to.
For that?
We talked about
is that
the last.
Hearts?
No.
No, 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 no.
No, we talked about that the last time because somebody was talking about doing a reboot of it. I can't remember. I want to say it's an independent publisher.
The weird thing about that game is like it had this folklore that it was like it was dirty. And it wasn't.
But you never really got to see anything.
No, but you were all like playing this game, hopefully that you'll see like
a boob. Yeah.
No, not even an 8-bit boob.
Yeah.
Sierra. Right? It's Sierra. Yeah.
Just like four light bricks and a dark brick.
8 pixels in it, yeah.
And it was different. But I still want to play it because it was fun as hell.
It was.
Hold on. Is it SpaghettiOs? In Johnny Sacco,
it could be. I mean, it's you know you gotta be careful what you wish for. I mean, you know how many times have we had the did it hold up conversation? Like it might be pure nostalgia and it might be better, but I'm sure somebody has it out there somewhere else.
See, now there's
find it.
Like games that held up, like 1942 held up,
love
Galaga
it.
Held up,
love it.
Right, there's like some of those like even like plain old Asteroids like to me holds up.
Oh, I'd still play that all day. Do the
Centipede all day. Right, those things are timeless. They'll never, you know. But some of them are. Some are just utter pieces of toilet.
Oh yeah, I can't. Although I'm telling you, that stupid arcade game that I bought for the brewery back in the
day, yeah, yeah,
is in my basement. I will sit there and play Kung Fu Master for hours and just be perfectly happy. So we love talking about WeWork. So we must continue to talk about WeWork because the chaos and mayhem continues.
Can we stop?
Nope, not until they die. So not only
if they keep these things.
Yeah, exactly. Which, speaking of dying, so apparently they have now issued a warning to all of their members because they have 2,300 phone booths that apparently have exceedingly high levels of formaldehyde and other known carcinogens.
How does that happen?
Let's see. Maybe something to do with the fact that their largest investor owns Asian manufacturing companies, and we're probably having them done there.
Ooh.
Just saying. I just guessed.
Well, I did read a rumor that SoftBank is taking them over. They're like, and you're out.
Yeah.
They did a Kenny Powers on them. You're effing out. I'm effing in. Get the F out of my chair.
Well, they've put, what, $12 billion into it so far?
I don't know the exact number, but
because they'd put round of funding to bail them out when the IPO failed and they weren't going to make payroll and they weren't going to – like they had like a month and a half of operating capital. I'd say they own them right about now. So I would say – I mean, granted, it's not like SoftBank's doing all that great with Uber either, but
– today, SoftBank offered $10 billion as part of a takeover plan.
Wow.
Wow.
How is it still worth that much?
To me, that's an ego play. Like that's that guy.
Well, that's a not wanting to lose their investment either.
Well, I was going
to
say that
they're buying stock after it got caught in half, and they're trying to just hedge their
Yeah.
The interesting one. This was the most fascinating story this week, and it's going to give a window into the future on how food is done. So, have you noticed the shift? No one's sitting down at a TGI Fridays anymore. But they're ordering the shit out of it on DoorDash or on whatever app you choose.
Really? People are ordering from TGI Fridays on
whatever.
DoorDash.
They're ordering from restaurants.
They're open till 2 in the morning.
Oh. Well, so is White Castle, and you can get White Castle delivered from DoorDash. I'm just saying.
It's not that different.
Make better choices.
That's true.
So DoorDash.
Fair point.
We always joke that DoorDash doesn't own any of the restaurants, but it's worth more than all of them combined. Well, now they just got into the ghost kitchen business. So I got my little crystal ball out.
It's like a Halloween story? Ooh.
Yeah. No, this is this is what I envision. There's going to be these fake – they're going to be like pop-up restaurants that don't have – that you can't sit down and eat, but you can order them on food delivery, done DoorDash.
So and like the pizza joint up front?
Pretty much.
You can't sit down and eat there, but you can get pizza and go
right,
away. Yeah.
Pretty much. But they're going to have like a food court. You're going to have like 40, 50 people in these ghost kitchens, and all their only business is going to be home delivery.
I feel like we talked about this a while ago. Like there's a – like startup incubator spaces like in Los Angeles and New York where you just rent out space in a giant industrial kitchen for your own little
Look, I mean that's what
my friend's part hold on, Dave. My buddy of mine is part of a conglomerate down in Cincinnati where they're doing that. But this was more for food trucks and so they can have a home.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessary. And then they have like a general seating space so you can you can do pop ups there. But it wasn't necessarily meant specifically for DoorDash.
Kind of like Detroit Shipping Company, but bigger with the.
But not no, but not. And it wasn't meant for.
Well, but with no tables.
Yeah.
Like that was the whole point.
Well, you were saying pop up.
Dude,
space,
speaking of food trucks, just to segue for a second, what's the place that always had all the food trucks in Ferndale?
Fleet.
Did you?
It's named after the enema kit.
Dude, did you read that? Well, which is appropriate. Did you read the story that came out? I believe
no.
it was them.
Oh, no.
Where you know what? Before I go slandering anybody, let me just make sure that I'm getting this right. There is a restaurant that apparently has been bouncing payroll.
Oh, that's Otis Supply.
Otis Supply. Thank you.
Oh, it's across the street from Fleet.
So apparently, like none of the payroll ever clears.
Vendors,
$170,000 in the hole.
But that's you had to get hand carved sliding barn doors from Paris,
dude. That's the crazy shit. Like, look
at the build out on that.
Years to build. Yeah,
$4 million to build it out. And I love going there.
It's a nice space.
Love it.
But, you know.
Not for $4 million, you're not going to make, you know, in this business? No way.
No way. I know the margins on food and they're not that much.
Yeah.
Right. A couple things on the security front that I thought were not humorous and sad.
Dude, Equifax.
Humorous and sad.
The breach happened because they left a portal with the user ID admin and password admin. Mm-hmm. Really Equifax? Really?
Someone brought up a really good point at work today, and if you look at their stock ticker, when the hack happened and they shit the bed, the stock went down to like whatever, the all-time low, and now it's actually creeped back up where it's decent, and now this class action lawsuit's coming to basically drive them back down again.
Yeah.
Like, but when stories like this come out, when you're admin, like you deserve what you get.
Yeah.
You really
deserved every single moment.
And again, you know our anger that I don't hire you, but you have all my shit.
Right.
You
yeah, I didn't voluntarily give you any of my crap, but yet you still have it from all the other
You won't all yeah,
they're the worst of all data.
No, there's a huge class action.
Hey Bob, I forget. Do you have the S10?
The Chevy pickup?
No, the Galaxy.
No, I have the 9.
Oh, okay. Just checking. In case you're listening to this and you haven't heard yet, the Galaxy S10, if you're using thumbprint to unlock it for identification purposes, they admitted today that there's a bug and any thumbprint will unlock it. It doesn't have to be yours at all.
Any
thumbprint will unlock it.
It was the what? Because I think what it did, a woman use her left, then her right, then ask her husband to it, and it opened up.
Uh-huh.
And then it stems
from her using a gel-based screen protector on the screen. So thumbprint, apply screen protector, screen protector interferes with reading the thumbprint, detects the ridges in the screen protector as the thumbprint, and just unlocks.
So this is as good as the old Windows 7 facial recognition unlock, where all you had to do was hold up a photo of someone
it's
to unlock it.
It's even worse than that, since any thumb will do it.
That's amazing. That's
see now. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why no thumb, no retina scan.
Nope.
I'm fine punching in my stupid six-digit code.
I always go back to Demolition Man. Like I keep going back to eyeball on the pen to unlock. No, I'm good.
My kid turned 13, so I got her an iPhone 11 for her birthday, and not the Pro one, like Neil with Arnold Schwarzenegger cannon on the back.
Nice,
just like the regular one. And she was like, "Okay, now you can do your face scan." I go, "Nope," and I was like, I don't want – government doesn't need to see what your retinas look like. You're only 13.
Don't leave the device.
And I'm just being funny, Randy.
Allegedly.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I'm sure we would know by now.
Yeah, and Snapchat deletes everything when you say remove it. Yeah.
And Equifax can't get hacked. Yeah.
Ian wants to let us know that Leisure Suit Larry Bundle is available on Steam. Has 1 through 7 available.
Ooh, I didn't even –
it can't be more than $20.
Sort of like I didn't know there was a House Party 4. Yeah. There was a Leisure Suit Larry 7.
Thank you, Ian. Made my night.
$24.
And you know what? Since the church, isn't getting a lot of the kids just don't want to go to the church no more. How about someone sat around a table and said, "Why don't we get into the IoT game?" And someone said, "Yeah, let's do it."
Click to Pray is the name of this device, and it's a rosary that you can wear like a bracelet.
Click to Pray.
Click to Pray.
It talks to your phone. So it's in essence, it's IoT. So
when you make the sign of the cross, the motion sensors in the bracelet actually open the app on your phone and start playing a rosary.
That's not real.
It
really is.
$110.
It's on Engadget.
Oh, yeah. No, it's from the Vatican, for real.
Right.
It's a thing.
The Vatican says the device, part of the Pope's worldwide prayer network. It's a tech-based teaching tool for learning how to pray for peace in the world.
Do you get points for each time you pray? And the more
are they going to gamify prayer? but good news. We're only what? Let's see. This is 2019, almost the end of it. The military is no longer going to use 8-inch floppy disks.
Dude, I had to read
to
this.
Control nuclear launch sequences.
I had to read this 6 times to make sure that it wasn't The Onion.
Not 5 1/4, not 3.5, 8-inch.
No,
the big MSI floppy disks, like from war games.
I want to say this again. Hold on. Can we say this again? U.S. military will no longer use floppy disks to coordinate nuke launches.
That's terrifying.
Released last week.
No, and then the best part is the undertitle, what's the subtitle?
Yeah.
It now has a highly secure solid-state digital storage solution.
That makes me nervous.
They bought Pure Storage. Right. That's all it tells me. Or they bought Dell EMC. Right. Right?
Nobody made an 8-inch floppy joke?
Sorry.
I had to get a bell just for that.
So actually, we were talking about Star Wars. One of the things we did not mention is, so if you are so inclined, I believe the first showing of the movie, the new movie, is on the 19th at 6 p.m. If you feel like being around fellow nerds for a long, long time,
yes,
you can start on the 18th in the morning. And for, I want to be sure, 27 hours and 21 minutes,
yes,
they will show all of the Star Wars films. Immediately followed by the new movie.
Can my seat be a toilet?
Exactly. Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Got to be like the Cartman World of Warcraft.
Sounds awfully amazing.
Well, I want to know what sequence they're going to show them.
Not just what sequence. I want to know what version. I don't want the night. If you're going to show me.
I would do that in a second. I think that sounds sweet.
But if you show me OG Episode 4?
They're never going to no.
It's going to be 97?
It's going to be the special edition.
Not toilet. I don't want to go there.
Yeah, you know it's going
to
be.
Which episodes to sleep through, or just bring lots of coffee?
How do you sleep through any of them?
Episode 1.
Episode 1, you totally can't.
The mall scenes are better than any of the other two.
Wake me up for the pod racing, and then
Pod racing is so boring.
No, the pod racing is totally the best
part. Not even for the pod racing, just for Duel of the Fates.
Duel of the Fates is good.
Yeah. Wake me up for that. Wake me up for mall, and then we're good. And then 2, I'll fall asleep after he kills Dooku. And then wake me
up. Willy Wonka's dead.
And then wake me up somewhere around the bondage scenes, like when Padme starts showing up in the leather gear. Wake me up around then.
Crying out loud.
The most I've ever done is...
anything to do with Jar Jar Binks, though. Did you notice?
Three movies back to back. I don't know if I could do this.
I can't sit in a single seat for that long. I would lose my mind.
I did at Theater Bazaar this weekend.
They're couches.
I guess you're right.
They're couches.
Bring a blankie, bring a pillow.
So we got to take a bet on which one of our friends' Teslas is going to brick first because the flash memory wears out.
Dude, I'm going Neil.
You're going Neil. Neil was our first friend with one.
I know.
So but he got the nice, he got the, but he got the fancy one. So I don't know if that gave. So basically, it says the culprit resides in the flash memory and the media control under the older Tesla vehicles. It basically keeps all the log data. And it doesn't dump it.
Yep.
And it doesn't archive it. And it doesn't move it into the cloud. It just sits there. And the firmware wasn't big in the beginning. So log data had lots of spare room to play with. And basically they wrote the workload spread over all the memory.
Yeah.
And now it's full.
But yeah, now they're logging so much data. There aren't empty sectors available for like fallover or error correction or anything.
The best line is because Tesla is highly dependent on its electronics. Once the flash memory in an infotainment unit goes bad, it essentially bricks the car.
That's amazing. Well, dude, shit, the app went down and what was it, 2 weeks ago, and nobody could get into their cars.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. So we can wrap up with from the nobody cares department, and also like from back in the day of 8-inch floppy disks. Yahoo Groups is winding down. I didn't even know
Yahoo Groups.
I knew Yahoo still existed.
Verizon company.
Did you ever do Yahoo? I don't even know what was Yahoo Groups.
I didn't know that was an option. Mailing lists.
Yahoo. No.
They were mailing lists.
It was message boards. It was essentially glorified message. Like the good message boards that had the email component to it and that kind of stuff. Like right as like CompuServe and that kind of stuff was starting to wind down, Yahoo launched Groups, trying to take its place and fill that niche and fill that void.
I never did that. Ever. Now, I loved message boards. You know that.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But yeah. So no, apparently. Yeah. And I think it's like what you have like a day left.
They extended it to the 28th to download all your files. So killing all the features except for the emailing.
I couldn't.
What is everybody going to move to Reddit r/ Google Yahoo groups?
Who knows?
I couldn't even begin to tell you what I had out there and nor do I care.
I'm just mad. I was looking up PopCap games because we used to play the shit out of those at Vario. God. And there was these two games. One was like a javelin throw, and the other one was piggy poker. And they're both gone. I can't find them. And like, those are like literally hours. We could have sold so much crap, but we decided we have to like have an office tournament on piggy poker. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Marie and Pat from New Spire. This is the IT in the D show.
Hey, we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Hey, welcome back. Segment 2, episode 320. This is the IT in the D show. Broadcasting live here in Studio One, Podcast Detroit, in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Randy, I do the Twitters, is doing the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you will find all the things.
All right, so nobody ever in the history of time has ever gone into business because they want to collect
like
sales tax.
David Lee Roth song, nobody. Nobody cares.
Has ever because they want to collect sales tax for the government, but it's something we all have to do. Thankfully, Avalara takes the mystery and pain out of the complex process of managing sales tax. Avalara uses the power of the internet and cloud services to automate the tax compliance process for businesses of all sizes, integrating directly with the accounting, e-commerce, point of sale, and marketplace platforms that you're already using. Avalara software automatically calculates the right amount of tax that should be charged for every product in every transaction in real time, and files your sales tax returns wherever and whenever they're due. Selling internationally adds a whole new level of complexity, but Avalara has experts in 15 countries around the world to help you navigate compliance challenges as you grow. Dude, thank God we are not a product-based company because like I remember like even selling tickets for the wrestling stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, suddenly that became a tax implication that mm-hmm. had to be dealt with because it's a physical product and yada, yada, yada.
I told you I almost shut down my German club.
Yeah.
And three events a year, they're selling beer to make money to pay for the damn property tax. And all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you guys owe another $8,000.
Yep.
Like, wait, what?
Oh, huh? Yeah, well, it's, you know, like I said, you know, the vendors at cons and that kind of stuff, you know, that are selling their stuff, that are trying to do it right, that are collecting sales tax and having to deal with it, you know, with their phone off their Square or their right. Stripe. Or, yeah, just ridiculous. So here's the deal. Stop spending valuable time worrying about your sales tax returns and focus on the things you actually love about running your business. Go to avalara.com/IT&D to learn more about how Avalara can help you. That's Avalara, AVALARA.com/IT&D. Avalara, tax compliance done right. Guys, give it a look. You need to.
Yeah, good stuff. Absolutely. So, hey, we are joined by old friends of ours and a new friend. But, hey, the team here from New Spire is there, in the house.
Are there three people here?
No. Maria's been here before. Pat's new. Pat's almost, new.
She can be two people.
That's oh.
Well, she was telling us she was doing four jobs, so
yeah. You know how it goes.
HR, but no, we got Maria Graham in the house and Pat O'Sullivan from New Spire Networks. How are both of you doing? Always love having you here.
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Good.
Thanks for having me back.
Love friends. Having you back. So this is I don't know if this is goofy or not, but it's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And there's stuff going on at work, like where they, you know, stop the fish and they're giving away Swedish fish and people are still doing stupid things like making their, you know, service account password 123 and getting hit by auditors. Like,
or, you know, Equifax.
Admin.
So, I mean, when you know, Cybersecurity Awareness Month, like, you know, oh, by the way, my father double-clicked an attachment and an email, shut his computer down, call an 800 number on the phone for 2 hours with this person. My dad gave them the credit card. Luckily, my mother was smart enough to call immediately and cancel the credit card. And I chew my dad out for an hour, and he goes, "Who told you?" And I'm like, "My wife told me." Because was she not supposed to? He didn't want me to yell at him.
Why is your dad still running a Windows PC?
No, because he doesn't know how to load Ubuntu, Randy.
Give him a Chromebook or something.
I got my mom a Chromebook, but he likes his desktop. Anyway, so, I mean, going back to like Cybersecurity Awareness Month, it seems like no matter how hard we try, it seems like these things still happen. I mean, what are you guys doing and what can we do to, like, you know, make people aware to not do that stuff?
Well, it's really interesting. So we talk to we're in the sales side, right? So we talk to people all day, every day. And when we start talking in, you know, discovery and what's going on and what's your biggest challenge, and it's always my people. I'm paying all this money for these platforms, really good platforms, know before and things like that. And there's not adoption and there's not buy-in from, you know, executive leadership teams or things of that nature. And that's the first thing, right? You got to start with that. You got to start with your people. And if you're not going to get buy-in at the higher level, you got to figure out how to do that, I think.
So what you're saying is, and internally, they need to have a salesperson to sell internally.
Amazing. Oh,
maybe.
Amazing.
I know, right?
I see what you did there, Bob.
I did.
Like it. Yes. That's the biggest challenge that I hear, I think, day in and day out is it all comes back down to the user. And you can buy all the best tools and platforms that are out there, but if you can't teach
people, still click things, yeah. They still open up the emails, they still open up the attachments.
So here's the thing, though. Those emails are utter shite when we all know that they're what they are.
The phishing test.
Yes. They're bad. Some of them write good ones where you, like, they get the domain. I think Neil did a good one where he bought, like, your company's IT department or some stupid URL like that, and then shot, like, a, you know, and he got, like, they got like 14 people out of 500 to, like, update their password through it. And it was like, ah. So, I mean, you know, again, I'm like, security awareness, I mean, I guess, where do you start and how do you stop that? I guess it'll never stop it. But, I mean, are you doing this monthly, biweekly? Do you do it random?
It's ongoing.
Is there just mitigation of risk at this point, I would think?
Yeah, I think so, too. But I think that there's got to be enough of somebody that has the authority to say, no, I'm serious. You do this and you learn this and you take it seriously. Because if you don't, you're exposing a huge risk to our business. So you need to be aware.
There's no repercussions, though, for, you know, Timmy in accounting that clicked that password reset. He didn't even get his hand slapped. They just, like,
I know.
You made the list. Great.
I know.
And then, now you have to sit down and watch this video.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like 10 videos or whatever. Yeah. So no, it's an ongoing battle. So then you have to have, you know, you gotta take it from there, right? It starts with user awareness and it doesn't stop there. You have to continue that. You can't just do it once a quarter, once a year. You can't do it this month only and then hope that that's going to resonate with the people because it just won't.
Well, because are you only hiring people this month?
No.
Yeah.
Right. It's got to continue. Yeah. It's got to be an ongoing process.
They're still going to be busy. They're still going to be rushing through their work. They're still going to be clicking on things and opening things. You know, and so it has to be forefront of mind, but you also have to do more because people are, no matter how much training you do, people are still going to click. They're still going to look. You have to watch. You have to, you know, you have to be seeing what they're doing. You have to be paying attention. You have to have eyes on because training isn't enough.
I mean, because if you look at it, I remember having a conversation. I think I brought this up a few times of a CISO of a pretty large company that everybody would know. And he goes, man, he goes, 70% of my budget is firewalls and VPN licenses. And he goes, and IDS is IDPs. And then he goes, 20% is maybe doing, you know, buying a proof point or getting, you know, some sort of LDP or, you know, data loss prevention, DLP, sorry, DLP. And then I got like 10% to do stuff that I want to do. So, I everybody's like, while security is important, everybody's crunched by the almighty budget dollar, mm-hmm. you know, so you got to go on the cheap and then what? You know what I mean? So I think both sides are accountable.
Yep. And then your phishing emails look like crap.
Right. Yep. Well, I was saying you can't really get too mad at Timmy in accounting when you haven't done shit either.
Right.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. Well, and it's also spending the money wisely, right? So there's a lot of things that you can do for teaching user awareness. Like, I think it's unique that your work is sending out, they're doing a more of a social campaign, right? Like, just making you aware. They're not making you sit down and watch videos because, no offense, like, I hate watching the videos. I work for a cyber company.
Nobody enjoys
it. The freaking worst. Like, I hate it. But, like, if you can do something fun just to keep me like, hey, this is a thing. Don't screw up. It's important. That
so you get, like, by us, if you leave your laptop unlocked,
do
when
I
you walk o- no, when you walk away, if security sees it, they basically shame you and they change your wallpaper to be like, you got, you know.
Oh, that happens. They'll turn, they do the thing, like, I'm in sales. I don't even know how they do this. Like, I've done that twice, I think, in 10 years at New Spire. They'll turn your whole stuff upside down.
Oh, the control arrow key. Yeah.
Thank you. How do I reverse it? That's more of what I need to know.
I think it's control alt arrow key. Actually.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Critical knowledge for me that
most people
gained.
They get it. If security doesn't catch someone on our floor, they get Hasselhoffed.
Yeah,
like the where he's like horizontal Playboy pose, like that
Ooh.
One. Yeah, that's the wallpaper.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You're hiring, right?
Yes, every day.
No, so
Randy just leaves his shit open all day.
Right. He actually just leaves one laptop open all day that he does nothing with and does all his work on the other one. Yeah,
well, there's like tons of things, right? So you can start with the training, but then, you know, there's a lot of people that are going, they're skipping the training because they feel like it's not effective or they do it once a year. And then they spend a fortune on point solutions that aren't integrated.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, they spend a ton of money with a bunch of point solutions and they're not integrated.
And a ton of time.
And a ton of time. And they can't. They still don't know what the heck's going on.
They don't. I don't think anyone.
They don't know what they're doing. So, and it's no fault of anybody's. It's just, here's gaps. Let's fill them with some tech. And then, okay, now the tech's making noise. And now what do we do with the noise? And now we're ignoring the noise. And
it's
now
too
our
much
people
noise.
Aren't,
I don't have time for it.
Now our people aren't trained. And now the phishing's happening. And this caught the phishing, but we didn't catch it because we have 40 other point solutions.
Right.
That
and
are
now
helping.
I just need somebody to build me a dashboard.
Yeah.
And
then, now I need a dashboard, but now I've got 47 dashboards and it's
tough. And
that's
quite common. We're seeing that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So what's the, is there an answer or is it just keep doing? I don't, you know, I'm just.
Well, I think there's always going to be a little bit of that, right? We have to keep layering security, but there is an answer. There's a few ways we can do it. The biggest thing is to get some help. Get some help from people who know what they're doing. Get some people who can actually pay attention, who can look at the tools you've got in place, who can look at what's going on in your network, and spend that money on those types of resources rather than continuing to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in new point solutions or in new staff to watch. And
well, how do
like
you, I guess here's the thing. You got security vendors coming, you know, out of the woodworks. How do you know – how do you trust that they're not glue sniffers building model airplanes? You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think that's a good point. No, I think a better thing to do would be to slow the heck down. And instead of realizing that you've got gaps everywhere and filling the gaps, figure out a strategic approach to fill the gaps, right? So, like, instead of buying this tool that's going to do this and this tool that's going to do this, and, oh, by the way, both of these tools have this overlapping functionality, really, like, slow down before you start pulling the trigger on some of that stuff and think about an integrated approach. That's also going to tie into your capability to manage that approach or figure out what you can and cannot manage and figure out where you need to hire more people or maybe partner with some strategic people. And don't stop the user training because that's, again, going to be the most important thing, right? So you have to have an integrated approach. You have to figure out what tools are going to talk to which tools. You have to figure out what those gaps are. Please don't start spending money on pen testing for no reason. Like if you know there's gaps, you know your users aren't getting trained and you know your IDS is set up poorly and you know you have these, don't spend money on a pen test. That's not going to work. We hear that a lot too.
But sometimes, but sometimes don't you have to be able to check the box and said, yes, we did a pen test.
Have to do that to check the box, certainly for depending on your industry, right? But,
yeah.
But as a solution to fixing, yeah. We hear a lot too. That's just the new, it's not new, but it's something that is starting to gain weight a lot, especially in like some of the mid market and maybe unregulated industries where they don't have to do that. But they talk to other people that are regulated. Oh, go get a pen test. Well, why are you going to test something you know is broken? That
right.
doesn't really make sense. Why don't you, it's like a leaky dam, right? Don't try to patch the hole before you try to break through the hole, right? And then once you figure out where those gaps are,
nobody's making a stick a finger in the dike joke.
I just
I saw it in his face.
I was trying so hard not to.
I did.
My eyes opened up like Johnny Cash. I look at Randy. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm sorry. And you're allowed to do that. It's fine. But so you just got to take an integrated approach to the whole thing, and then you got to figure out what you can and cannot do yourself. That's it, right?
So,
find some strategic partners, figure out what makes sense to manage internally, figure out what doesn't, but make sure at the end of the day, spending a ton of money on cyber tool after cyber tool after cyber tool, and then you have a whole stack of stuff that's creating nothing but noise.
Well, yeah, that's probably not integrated.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. You got to be strategic about it, and so figuring out how to do that. So sometimes instead of just pulling the trigger, it's hard. And I'm in sales. Like it's the worst when I get onto one of those conversations and I'm like, oh my God, I could sell you all the things right now, but I'm not going to. You need to slow down. Like I need you to slow down because what you're doing isn't going to work. And this is why, right? Because you're talking about this tool. You're talking about this tool. You're talking about all these different things. And then you've got an IT staff of 20 for X billion amount of users or whatever. This isn't going to work for you to manage. So let's figure out a better strategic way to integrate the stuff and make it so that, we can be successful at the end of it. And that, I think, is the challenge that we're coming into now. Because there's just, you look at the freaking, the LinkedIn, the infographic, we've all seen
it. Oh, it's awful.
With the security vendors.
The eye chart.
My shoe hurts. And I've got 47 security vendors for it. Like, my shoe doesn't hurt. It's very comfortable. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many options out there. And these people are, it's tough.
So, I keep hearing over and over that the trend seems to be moving towards simplicity. You kind of alluded to it. I guess, are you seeing it too? And I guess to what degree? Because, when you say that, that's a very loose term. But then I'm hearing this and, it kind of coincides with everything I'm hearing as well.
Yeah. I think that what I hear more is it's too complex, right? So it's a complex landscape right now. And the people that I talk to, it's too complex for them to deal with.
What I meant was simplicity, meaning we're just going to take and just strip everything away.
Yes.
And we're going to like the strategies from an end user.
Yes.
Are just, going a more simpler route than stacking all these vendors on top of each other.
I think that, so yes, I do think stripping it back and finding a, I guess there's a couple of different ways to look at it. It depends on who you're talking to. Larger scale organizations are going to take a different approach than more of the middle market, right? So for the larger scale, I think that what I've found is everybody's going towards single vendor, single platform. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what it is. And once they buy into one piece of it, if they like it, they're going to buy the whole thing, which is good as long as they have the people to manage it. Smaller enterprise to higher end mid-market, they're still in my experience from the conversations I'm having, we've got a lot of people that have just bought and layered on a ton of different tools, a ton of different applications, a ton of different dashboards, and they can't do it. Like they're like, I got all this stuff, but I have no visibility.
Yeah.
And it's confusing to me is how you don't have the visibility. And it's time and resources. They don't have the time and resources to deal with it.
Well, yeah, I guess that brings up a point that I wanted to ask you. You guys do always have done really well with small business. And I could tell a couple stories from just this past year where one it was an insider theft scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Cost them about $1.5 million in legal fees. Never implemented any solution to curtail that in the future. Another one, you know, basically got ransomwared. Never did anything to stop in the future. Is like, here's the thing. They're getting burned. You know, it's kind of like if you get your car stolen, you might get a low jack next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And go, I don't want to deal with this crap again. You know what I mean? You just go buy something or,
well,
you know.
And some of it comes down to, you know, where's, you know, what's A, what's your risk tolerance? And B, where's the cost benefit?
Exactly.
Like if okay, the ransomware is they want $200,000 and it's going to cost me $30,000 to replace everything. All right, everything just got lit on fire, and I'm just replacing everything.
Right.
You know, we saw that happen with a couple of universities this year with the stories we were talking about.
Yeah, the library or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think that it's always a risk. It's a risk tolerance equation, always, right? And so it depends on who you're talking to, right? I think that providing people with a narrative when they're going internally, because it's not like I'm never going to talk to a CISO that got burned. And we've done very well in the SMB, but we've moved a little bit upstream to more higher end mid market and some low end enterprise type of engagements and target market in the last 2 years. But you're never going to talk to a CISO that got burned and is like, I'm okay with it. That's not like I'm like, oh, you still have a job? Nothing. That's exciting.
Well, I wouldn't wish their job on anyone when they do get burned, because like awful. How many people called Borg Warner
right.
the morning after whatever that guy got caught in Iraq? I wouldn't wish their
job on anyone if they didn't get burned. They have a target on their back.
Well, yeah. Didn't we?
That too.
Isn't the average length, what was it, 18 months?
Yeah.
Of a CISO.
Yeah.
It's very short. But it's not about the CISO, though. It's not that they don't want to do it. It's about helping them create the narrative to sell internally with the risk, right?
Like, sure.
Like you said, it's like you need a salesperson.
Mm-hmm. You need one.
You need a salesperson on the inside. And so
I found that's a big challenge for a lot of them, too, is translating the risk equation and translating the, you know, what they know needs to happen on the IT side into business language that the board can actually adopt and understand and resonate with. You know, they're speaking in business terms, and a lot of times translating that is a major challenge. You know, I think that a lot of it is just you have to pay attention, and you have to be aware of what's happening. You have to train your users. You have to be constantly evolving, because the landscape is constantly evolving. I mean,
right.
Every day there's new things happening and changing.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, if you were going to tell me ransomware was going to hit every 14 seconds and it would take 4 minutes
That's
to hack an IoT
stat.
Device, it's 14 seconds every day, 14 seconds ransomware is hitting somewhere. And I think it's
right – If it's gotten to the point where it's hit my father's computer,
right.
You know it's
– It's everywhere.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
It's everywhere.
Right.
It's ridiculous. And so it's – It's, I think more and more people are understanding, and I think it's our job in the cybersecurity, and we're not a point solution, we're a managed security service provider. So I think the largest part of my job is not, I don't have to sell a CISO my service. There's value there. They get it, right? But I have to help them. I'm the salesperson on the inside. Like, how do
sure.
I help you be successful, and what can I do for that? And so that's probably, you know, where New Spire is been very successful is kind of trying to crack that code and help people be successful in getting their
the message across.
Well, we always like hearing people that are hiring, especially the magnitude of what you guys
50,
are hiring.
50 jobs.
Oh, wow.
I got 50 open positions.
Across sales,
we're
developing,
growing. It's
engineering.
Good. We jumped.
It's a good problem to have.
We jumped, we're number 27 on the MSSP list right now. That's up like 25 spots from last year.
I remember
year.
When you guys were little kids.
Do you? I know.
Yeah.
We're all grown up.
I was a little kid the first time. I was scared of you the first time. I was like, oh my gosh, he said such foul language.
He's so manly.
What do I do?
I'm pretty sure she never said that.
I didn't. I didn't say that. I was probably dropping F-bombs with them, but we've got 50 open positions. The majority of those are going to be in like the security engineering and the SIM and SOC analysis and stuff like that. But anybody throwing out a wishbone here, because I'm a salesperson, but we're hiring, we got a ton of sales positions open too, so hit us up.
Yeah.
That's insane. Good.
I just had to give this guy $250 spiff. I split my referral fee with him for the last candidate he sent me.
Oh, nice.
So if you know people, send them to me. We have bonuses.
What else is going on?
Yeah, I heard her deal.
I guess what else is going on without, you know.
What else is going on? Oh, my goodness. So many things. We.
Secure World. We were supposed to see you at Secure World.
I missed you guys there. I was really sad I didn't get to see you. It was good. It was a good show.
It was such a chaotic week. Mother of God.
I know. Yeah. That's what he said. I was texting him. But it was a good show. There was a lot of traffic. Topics were good. We had a panel. We had a couple of really good friends that were there, so that was fun. It was a good show.
It always usually is.
Yeah, it was in a new venue this year, which was different. It was at Kobo. It's not Kobo anymore. What is it now?
TCF
Kobo.
Center. Yeah.
It's Kobo. Yeah,
I know.
It's always Kobo.
The People Mover just says Convention Center.
Yeah, you know? Well, it's all confusing now because none of the
it's
maps.
It's Arbor Drugs.
The maps don't know where to send you when right. you put them. It's very confusing. No, it was good.
Not calling it Chemical Bank
wasn't it,
Center.
Wasn't it there last year?
No. It was over
the one that you're thinking of, the State of Michigan one with the CIO.
CISO, the Evanta.
No, not even. No? Evanta was at Detroit Science Center.
No, last year it was at Kobo.
No, there. Was, yeah, I was gonna say because there was the
it was
one.
The
we
Michigan
did.
It was the cybersecurity summit.
So that was the one that Snyder's. We did, and Brennan was there.
Yes,
but there was the other one we did.
Oh, that was CBI's. Oh, that was no. B sides, or that was one of those two.
Was it B? Okay,
yeah, it was at the second floor.
Yeah.
No,
that's
that
what
was,
I'm thinking of. Okay.
It was B sides, or it was one of the two of them that are always back to back
at Kobo.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean whatever it's called. Yeah. Anyways, it caused Probably confusion not. For me. Pine Knob. He's just throwing. Now I'm all screwed up.
Right.
Shoot. No, so that was good. What else have we been doing? We just finished a overhaul in our security operations center. It looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. Completely remodeled.
It's
cool.
It looks awesome.
kind of space age now.
Yeah. It's really fun. Coming from, I was baby, so it was not that.
Right.
And now it's that.
We
it's,
need almost an AV designer because it's all like the fancy TVs.
Yeah, like I'm like, oh my, I don't even know. I'm like texting my old time clients from 8 years ago, like, check out our sock now. I know you were here a while ago. Like,
when
look
Maria
at it
started,
now.
We had what, 5 employees?
No, it was a long time
20?
Ago. Yeah, it was a small company, but we're growing and we're doing, it's fun. It's a fun place to be. The culture's cool. And we're going places, so. It's been really exciting.
I've been there a year and a half, and it's been wild just the ride in that short time, how quickly we've grown. And
I say I called on you guys back in like 08 when I was at HP. That's when I first started talking to Dan.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. And that's 11 years ago. Oh, my God. But, yeah, you guys are little
guys.
Exactly. Going to the junior high dance. Doing the slow dance where your arms are fully extended. Yeah.
No,
now,
it's fun.
Now you guys are
getting our prayer
it's
points.
Fun. We've got a couple of security operations centers in Denver and in Cincinnati now. So we've got a couple of different offices that are well staffed. It's not just in commerce. So
good for you guys.
It's fun.
So where do we send people to find out more?
Go to careers@newspire.com probably.
Okay. And that's NU Spire, not NEW.
That's right.
Did you buy NEW Spire just to get just
you know,
in case?
I really should. I'd probably
we should do that, actually.
We should do that.
Yeah. I get a referral fee for that one too.
We'll hook you up. Dan's gonna pay you.
Branding.
Dan's gonna pay you.
The site cannot be reached.
The strategy officer.
NEW is available?
Well, just as it can't be reached. It's not like
then that means it's available. But hey, yeah, NewSpire, NU, Spire.com. Definitely check out 50 jobs. That sounds pretty amazing. I'll definitely send a few people your way. Hey, we're going to wrap things up. This episode 320 of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank our guests, Marie and Pat from NewSpire. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Zapier and Avalara. Thank you for keeping the lights on behalf of Bob, Dave, and Randy. And oh, by the way, I saw Nuri yesterday. He says say hello to everybody in the podcast sphere. On behalf of all of us, drink up your drinks, get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
See you guys.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. Oh.
It's over. Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want.
Yeah. Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city.
I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.